Oh, the Lord is good. And He has gone before every step of the way. We just rejoice in Him. Please turn to Genesis chapter 17 as we continue our reading through Scripture. Genesis 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day, as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the very same day Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. So reads the word of God. Genesis 17:1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. We now come to one of those scriptures that should enthrall us with the very express glory of God. It is the bedrock foundation of our belief on God. This is not one of those elements of human interpretation and theological dispute which has been used to establish some religious order. Neither is it an example of some aspect of the differences between denominational ordinances and descriptors. It is very simple and very basic, right from the mouth of God. He recorded this exchange between himself and Abram and included the greatest proclamation that mankind will ever hear. I am God Almighty. Think about this for a moment. Everything else that draws us to God is fundamentally and absolutely based on the fact that He is God Almighty. Without this reality, there is no reason to even believe in Him. If He is not God Almighty, we do not have any eternal security or salvation in Jesus Christ. If He is not God Almighty, we do not have any surety of His protection and His safety in our walk on this earth. If He is not God Almighty, why would we even consider sin and its horrible effects on our relationship with Him? Everything, including our holiness, our sanctification, our suffering for His name's sake, our righteousness before Him, and our adoption into His family, is meaningless if He is not God Almighty. Everything that we value in our earthly and our spiritual life is absolutely constrained by and assured in the unshakable truth that He is God Almighty. First of all, let us take into account the fact that when we consider God, we must do so with all fear and trembling. We border on utmost audacity when we try to describe the Almighty, infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God in terms of human language and understanding. He is so far removed from the limitations and containments of mere mortality, trying to define and to give voice to the Almighty One. Therefore, as we consider the Scriptures in terms of who God is, we do so with utmost reverence and the realization of the faultiness of our insignificant understanding with regard to any description of Him. However, as we have only these limited tools to try to give some definition to the limitlessness of God, we do so with awe and with utmost humility, and will stick to His Scripture as our basis of methodology. We use the best descriptors that our language can supply in humbly giving voice to the infinite truth and being of God Almighty. Secondly, we must recognize that in dealing with this passage, we come to two distinct realities. The first is that when God declares, I am God Almighty, those elements that we use to describe Him in a very limited manner will never be true of us. There are complete characteristics of God's very nature, as we will see, to which we have no possibility to partake on our own. Everything of God's nature that is for our benefit will only be seen in terms as it relates to us in Jesus Christ. As the children of God in Christ, we are now made partakers of some of the shadowed aspects of the divine nature. But it must be fully realized without any misunderstanding that we will never be gods unto ourselves. We will never have any divine power of our own. All that we are by virtue of being found in Jesus Christ. The other part, which we will develop in greater depth in our next session, Lord willing, is how God's divine nature is to have an effect on our lives in Jesus Christ. Certain attributes of God are His alone. However, there are certain truths of God which are to become evidenced in our lives by the power of Jesus Christ. This is the singular and ultimate authenticity of God, which brings forth and bears witness to the entire course of the core of His creation of the universe and all that it contains. His entire essence of being is manifested in the fact that He is God Almighty. As a framework for our ultimately impossible task, we will use a scriptural list compiled by the Hope for Heart Biblical Counseling Library. Please keep in mind that there is no list or manner in which we can give more than a cursory and feeble effort in describing the altogether indescribable one. We are absolutely inadequate to do so, as even this list will reiterate. I realize that this will be a review of some of those realities of God which we already value. However, it is never inappropriate to continually bring to the forefront of our minds and our hearts and our spirits the utter and unfathomable greatness and the awesomeness of our God. Lord willing, we are brought before Him in the continual refreshment of who He is and what He has done. We never, ever want to take anything about Him for granted. Our meager considerations of Him should always serve to increase our worship and our praise of God as we gather together and remind ourselves of Him as the Almighty One. As a beginning, then, under this all-encompassing umbrella of God being the only true, living, Almighty One, is the fact that God is omniscient. He is the all-knowing God from eternity unto eternity. Psalms 139, 1 through 4. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. There is nothing hidden from the knowledge of God. Whether on a personal level, a familial relationship, in regard to our community, to the course of nations, to the history of mankind, to the depth of what He has instituted, everything is completely open to Him. This means that He is free to act in the foreknowledge, to do all that He wills to take place. His omniscience is our security in the fact that all will be accomplished as He has so ordained and determined. Next, as the Lord God Almighty, He is the only omnipotent one. This means that He is all-powerful. There is nothing that He cannot do. There is no force that can stand against Him. There is no enemy who can defeat Him. He stands alone as the ultimate power who inhabits eternity. The prophet Jeremiah relates this to us in Jeremiah 32:27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" Is anything too difficult for me? With God on our side, what is there in any realm or any sphere that can hinder or overwhelm or defeat us? As the Apostle Paul relates in the most encouraging manner in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" The next characteristic of God held in the declaration, "I am God Almighty," is that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is always with His people, no matter where they may wander. He is not limited by time or space or location. Again, the prophet Jeremiah relates this word of God in Jeremiah 23:23-24. "Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? How can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord?" What possible fear of loneliness or of abandonment can we have when we are secure in the full knowledge that God is filling all of eternity with Himself? He is with us no matter what we are facing, no matter where He sends us, no matter where we might try to run. We are never alone, and we are never forsaken or deserted. He is always with us as our guide, our comforter, and our every source of wisdom and truth and strength and endurance. This flows into the next reality of God that we have already alluded to in the terminology of His other characteristics. He is eternal. God is not encumbered by time, as is humanity. He is not limited to the divisions of time in terms of seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, weeks, years, decades, centuries, millenniums, or any such confining concepts. He far surpasses every element. He is the one who has put time into place for a short duration in order to fulfill to the utmost His plan and purpose in the giving of His only begotten Son. Deuteronomy 32:39-40. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Indeed, I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say, as I live forever. As I live forever. We tend to panic and to be ruled by the length of days and the shortness of our moment in time to accomplish those goals and those elements that we consider to be of greatest importance. We tend to find ourselves ruled by the passing of time. God is never so hindered. He will do that which he will do when he knows that it is best to do it. He will never run out of time, nor have to shorten his cause because the day seems to be waning. He is not bound by the frailty of earthly years. He magnificently orchestrates each day to bring forth all that he will have done to his glory for all of eternity. Have you come to recognize that? He magnificently orchestrates each and every day to bring about his glory. Next, in his declaration of being the Almighty One, we come face to face with the fact that he is immutable or unchanging. He does not waver in that which he knows must take place. He is not hindered by extenuating circumstances or the lack of resources or faltering public opinion. He is who he is, and he does that which he says he will do. Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. We can take absolute comfort in the fact that he will carry forth all his promises in his word. There is nothing that will change his mind or influence him to set aside one single iota of his word. In it, he fully declares, to the best of human language, his eternal goodness and his holiness and his mercy and his grace and his love, which can never be altered, hindered, or set aside. This brings us then to the next reality of who God is in his almightiness, and that is that he is incomprehensible. He is, as we have stated, with all reverence and fear and trepidation, unfathomable and mysterious to our understanding. What he chooses to do and how he chooses to do it is not subject to the limitation of our minds and our thoughts. He far exceeds and excels beyond any measure of our understanding. He performs his will to the utter amazement and inscrutability of his love. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable His ways. His ways are not our ways. And His manifestation of Himself and His glory is not ours to try to manipulate and to control through any earthly means. What He does and how He does it simply places us into that arena of thanksgiving and joy that He is God Almighty. As well, God the Almighty One is absolutely self-existent. He has all life in Himself. We need to receive life. First, earthly life, as He so breathes it into us at our birth. Then spiritual life, as He so breathes it into us by the Holy Spirit when we accept His salvation through Jesus Christ. All life comes from Him, and through His Son indwells us for the rest of eternity. John 5:26. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. Apart from Him, there is no true life. He is the source of life and its wellspring forever. Additionally, God is completely and perfectly self-sufficient. He is able to act without any other influence being exerted upon Him. This is something that humanity has striven after since the garden and will never find. God alone, the Almighty, is the self-sufficient One. Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. In this truth, we are blessed to know that we function perfectly within the sphere that He has set up for us in all His loving kindness and tender mercy. He has made Himself to be our every sufficiency in Jesus Christ. As well, God is infinite or boundless. There are no limitations or restrictions to fence Him in. Let me repeat that. There are no limitations or restrictions that can fence Him in. Neither time nor space nor even His laws of nature apply to Him. He transcends all in His power and His wisdom and His presence. Psalms 139:7-12. Where can I go from Thy Spirit, or where can I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to Thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to Thee. This includes the fact that He is transcendent, far above all measure of humanity's understanding of what limits and drives and motivates action, response, reason, and behavior. God is never bound up in the fetters and the manacles of human intellect and understanding and ideology. He far exceeds and surpasses any constraint of our limited thoughts and imaginations. Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And finally for this morning, in his tremendous declaration that I am God Almighty, God puts forth his sovereignty. He is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. There is no other that can overrule his absolute authority. What he wills, will be done. What he chooses to accomplish will be finished, and finished in unqualified perfection. Daniel 4:35, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what hast thou done?" Such is the course of the first element of this morning's passage. We see some measure of those elements of God's nature which are indisputable and which he alone possesses in utter perfection. Again, it is with absolute humbleness of spirit that we even try to give any earthly description to God's nature of being. He is so far beyond any measure of our comprehension. But it is by his word that we bring unto him these elements of the faithfulness of his essence and life. That is what we find in the first portion of this passage before us. The next time when we continue, Lord willing, we will consider the second aspect of this statement of God to Abram. Walk before me and be blameless. We will try to discover how God's perfection of nature as the Almighty One is to have absolute and fundamental results in our lives as his chosen ones in Jesus Christ. So be it. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." Amen.